you want to open up to Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, that's where we'll get started this morning. Leviticus chapter 23. We are fast approaching the holiday season. Halloween is right around the corner. I believe it's actually next Monday. And as a kid, I was just always so excited and overjoyed when Halloween came. Me and my brother David, we'd go around the neighborhood with our little pillowcases and knock on doors and collect candy and go home and just overindulge ourselves in this stuff. And then right after Halloween comes my favorite holiday now, and that's Thanksgiving. It's a time when friends and family, they all get together and they enjoy a great meal and they think about all of the many wonderful ways that the Lord has blessed us. It's a time of thanks. And then after Thanksgiving comes the most wonderful time of the year. It's Christmas. This is the year when Daddy, he gets this tree and we decorate and put lights on it. We decorate the outside of our homes. We hear Christmas music everywhere we go. Christmas Eve comes around. Santa Claus comes through the chimney. We wake up in the morning and we have presents all under the tree. And then after Christmas comes New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve is another time when friends and family, we get together, we eat chips and dip, and we eat hot wings, and we stay up late, play games, watch Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve, and then right at midnight, it's the final countdown, and hundreds and thousands of Americans watch this gigantic glass structure explode all over New York City. And we celebrate. We love to celebrate. We have specific days in our calendar reserved for celebration. Days where we get off of work, days where we get with friends and family, days where we give and receive gifts, we overindulge ourselves in food, we stay up late, we love to celebrate. But this morning, I'm not going to spend the next few minutes talking about how we as Americans love to celebrate and all of these different holidays that we have. But I use this illustration to try to wrap your minds around this every 50-year, 12-month celebration that God designed for the Israelites to observe, to completely bask in His love, grace, and mercy. It truly was the most wonderful time of the year. But before we look at that 12-month celebration, we're going to observe two other times of the year that the Lord set aside for the Israelites to observe that leads up to this every 50-year celebration. So if you're in Leviticus chapter 23, this first time of the year that they celebrated was the annual Day of Atonement. This was a day where the Israelites humbled themselves before the throne of God and they were cleansed of all of their iniquities and all of their sins. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26, the Bible says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Now on the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves." This means that the people are going to fast, they're going to pray, and they're going to confess their sins. They're going to afflict themselves and present a food offering to the Lord. Verse 28, "And you shall not do any work on that very day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God." In Leviticus chapter 16, we get a little more background in this situation. The high priest, he would go into the tabernacle, and he would offer sacrifices for himself, for all of the people, and for the tabernacle. This was a day, one day in the year, where it doesn't matter what type of sins or iniquities or guilt that you have stored up in your heart. God was going to pardon you for all of it. You had a fresh slate. This was the Day of Atonement. But it gets even better. Not only did the Lord provide this annual Day of Atonement, but there was also a day that they observed every 7th year. This was called the sabbatical year. Every 7 years, the Israelites would get an entire year of rest. Look at Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25, we see this Sabbath year. Verse 1, "The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, When you come into the land that I give you, the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its vines." You're going to work for 6 years, But look at verse 4. Verse 4, but in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You shall not reap what grows of itself or in your harvest or gather the grain. He's saying here, you're going to work for 6 years, but on the seventh year, you're going to rest. You're not going to work. The land's going to rest. You're going to feed off of my love, grace, and my mercy. So we see the annual Day of Atonement where their sins are cleansed, and then the seventh sabbatical year where they rest for an entire year. But then comes the 50th year. This is the year that everyone is looking forward to. This is the year of years. This is the year of Jubilee. I don't know what type of calendar system the Israelites had. I don't know if they had chalk and used to mark it on some type of rock, or if they had a flip chart. But this was the year that everyone was awaiting. This was the most wondrous and glorious time that anyone could ever expect, because you probably only got to see this year of Jubilee once, maybe twice in your entire lifetime. Leviticus chapter 25. Verse 8, we read of this year. You shall count 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the time of the 7 weeks of years shall give you 49 years. Then you shall sound the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall sound the trumpet throughout your land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you when each of you shall return to his property, and each of you shall return to his clan. Verse 11, that 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of itself, nor gather the grapes from the undressed vine. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You may eat the produce of his fields. This is the 50th year. This is what it's all about, the year of Jubilee. The sound of the trumpet could be heard throughout all of the land. Liberty was proclaimed to everyone. Everyone rested and stood in awe and anticipated this glorious, this wonderful 12-month celebration that they were about to enjoy. And if you notice, this year of Jubilee, it didn't begin on the first day of the year. It didn't begin on what we would consider January the 1st. They don't have a January, but that's what it would be for us. It didn't begin on the first day of the year. Did you notice when this year began? It began, look at verse 9, Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 9. It began on the Day of Atonement. This year began on the day that all of your sins and all of your iniquities were cleansed. It began on the day where you had a fresh start. And the Israelites were so looking forward to this wonderful time of the year. They walk away from that temple completely cleansed of their sins and their iniquities and all of their guilt. And they are expecting and anticipating, point number one, an entire year full of trust in God. This was a year where you wouldn't work. You didn't have to work. God commanded you not to work. Look at verse 11, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 11. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of itself, nor gather the grapes for the undressed vines. God's saying, I don't want you to work. I want you to rest. I want you to celebrate. I want you to spend time with brethren. I want you to enjoy this 12 months that I have given you. I want you to enjoy this 12 months that I am blessing you with all of this wonderful things. 12 months of rest. Someone may be thinking, well, Tim, how is that supposed to work? If you don't work for 12 months, how are you supposed to support yourself? How are you supposed to support your family? How are you supposed to eat? The Bible tells us if we don't work, we don't eat, right? Well, I'll tell you, brother, you're partially correct. The Bible does tell you if you don't work, you don't eat. But here in this year of Jubilee, God commanded you not to work. And in fact, God said, his promise was that if you obey him, if you listen to him, if you keep his commandments, he'll provide all of your needs and wants. Look at verse 18, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 18. This is such a wonderful year. Leviticus 25, verse 18. Therefore you shall do my statutes and keep my rules and perform them, and then you will dwell in the land securely. I want to take care of you. Just trust in me. This is a year of trust in God. Verse 19, the land will yield its fruit and you will eat your fill and dwell in it securely. And if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year if we may not sow or gather in our crops? Verse 21, I will command my blessings on you in the sixth year so it will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years. When you sow in the eighth year, you will be eating some of the old crop. You shall eat the old until the ninth year when its crop arrives. That's a whole lot of numbers there. But what the Lord is basically saying, all of the years prior to this year of Jubilee, I want to provide you with an abundant supply of crops, an abundant supply of food and harvest, so that when this 50th year arrives, you don't have to work. You're going to have more than you need to sustain you. You're going to feed off of my love, my grace, and my mercy. This was a year of completely trusting in God. Someone may say, well, Tim, that sounds wonderful, but it doesn't sound too much different than that seventh sabbatical year, because the people didn't work in that year either, right? We talked about that. That is true, but the year of Jubilee gets even better, because not only is it a year of rest, not only is it a year that you fully trust in God, but it's a year of renewed blessings. It's a year of renewed blessings. That's point two. Say you have squandered your life away. You've made a complete disaster of your life. You've spent all of your money for the past several years on prostitutes, on wine. Perhaps you've sold your birthright for a bowl of stew. You're in debt. You owe people money. So you sell all of your land. You sell everything that you have. You sell the clothes on your back and you're wandering around like a vagabond. You have nothing. But then this 50th year arrives. And guess what happens? You get it all back. Every single thing that you've lost, every single thing that you've sold, even if you have stolen something, perhaps you get it back. You get released from prison. Everything that you have lost is restored in this year. Look at Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25, verse 13. In this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his property. Look at verse 28, Leviticus 25, verse 28. But if he does not have sufficient means to recover his property, then what he sold shall remain in the hand of the buyer until the year of Jubilee. In the Jubilee it shall be released, and he shall return to his property. Everything that you lost is restored. You get it all back. What a wonderful, wonderful year. It's a year of fully trusting in God, renewed blessings, and third and finally, it is a year of wonderful, outstanding love, grace, and mercy among God's people. Say you've lost everything that you've had. You sell yourself as a slave into someone's house in order to redeem your property, in order to pay them back. Guess what happens in the year of Jubilee? That slave owner is going to release you from slavery and give you all of your property back, whether you've paid him off or not. Look at Leviticus chapter 25, verse 39. Leviticus 25, verse 39. If your brother becomes poor beside you and sells himself to you, you shall not make him serve as a slave. He shall be with you as a hired worker and as a sojourner. He shall serve with you until the year of the Jubilee. Then he shall go out from you, he and his children with him, and go back to his own clan and return to the possession of his fathers, for they are my servants whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves. You shall not rule over them ruthlessly, but you shall fear your God. If you're a slave, you're going to be released. People are so compassionate, they're so merciful, they're so loving that they're willing to just redeem you and let you go debt free. Look at verse 54. Verse 54. If he is not redeemed by these means, if he can't pay his slave owner back, then he and his children with him shall be released in the year of Jubilee. This is a wonderful year. During this year, there's not one group of people celebrating and enjoying all the blessings that come from Jubilee and another group of people who are looking at them in envy and hatred and strife and jealousy and sadness. Everybody is enjoying this. Everybody is experiencing the wonderful blessings from God. And we see here in this passage that it won't work unless everyone is on board loving and caring for one another, allowing their slaves to go free, debt free. Oh, what a year this would have been for an Israelite who made a mess of their life. They sell themselves into slavery. And then this 50th year arrives. The Day of Atonement comes. Their sins are completely washed away. And then they're released from slavery. They get back everything they had. And they get a fresh start. A completely fresh start. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful year this would have been. But I'm so happy today to tell you that in Jesus Christ, we have something far better than a year of Jubilee. We are living in the age of Jubilee. This morning, Marco read so beautifully from Isaiah chapter 61. In that passage, the prophet Isaiah was looking down through time, and he saw the coming reign in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Hundreds of years later, that prophecy is fulfilled in Luke chapter 4 and around the 18th verse. Jesus standing in the temple amidst the people, he begins reading from the prophet Isaiah. He begins reading from Isaiah chapter 61. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are captive, to recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty to those who are oppressed, to preach, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to preach the favorable year of the Lord, to proclaim the year of Jubilee." And after he said these things with all eyes fixed on him, he closed the book, handed it back to the attendant, and said, Today, the scripture has been fulfilled. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the year of Jubilee. What Christ was talking about was this new age of blessings and grace and mercy from God that we can all be lavished in. It's far better than a 12-month period. We're living in an age of joy and happiness and blessings. We're living in an age where we can fully trust in the grace, mercy, and love of God. It's not about us. It's not about our righteous acts. It's not about me trying to earn my way into heaven. It's not me trying to work my way into heaven or try to do so much to receive something or worrying about doing so little and not receiving something. That's not what it's all about. It's about trusting in God. And we're so blessed and we should be so thankful that we're living in an age where we can trust in God. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 that by grace we have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing, but is a gift of God. Not a result of works so that no one may boast. This is a gift of God. God has already done all of the work by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, onto this messed up world to suffer and die for us. He died on the cross. He's done all of the work. Are you saying... Well, if he's done all of the work, then I can just live my life however I want to. If we're saved by his grace, then no, that's not what I'm saying. Romans chapter 6, shall we continue in sin so that his grace may abound? Shall we continue in sin and take advantage of his grace? Certainly not. But because the Lord has been so loving towards us, because he's been so kind, because he has put us in this special age, we should be inspired to serve him and love him and obey him. If we simply listen to him and obey him, he'll do all the rest. We're living in an age of complete trust in God. But not only that, not only are we living in an age where we fully trust in God, but just like the Israelites, we're living in an age of renewed blessings. Just like an Israelite who's messed up his whole life, he sold all of his possessions. He's a slave. That 50th year comes. He's given it all back. He's released from slavery. He has a fresh start. God has done the same thing for us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of our sins and because of our shortcomings, we have been separated from God. That relationship has been severed. And because of our sins, all men die. All the way back in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, God blessed Adam and Eve with all of these wonderful blessings. You can eat from any tree in this garden that you want except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They ate from that tree. Thus, sin and death was brought into this earth. All of us sin. We've messed up the relationship. We've squandered our blessings. just like an Israelite in Leviticus chapter 25. But God was so loving. He's so kind that he's restored that relationship with us through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul, again, he's talking about how we've been saved by grace through faith. This is not a result of our own works, but is a gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read in verse 1. Talking about how we're living in an age of renewed blessings. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were once by nature children of wrath. What Paul is saying there is, all of us are sinners. We've all sinned. We've messed up. We've squandered our blessings. That relationship that God had with us has been severed. But, look at verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were separated, even after we squandered this relationship, even after we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with him in Christ Jesus. He restored that relationship. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared for us from the very foundation of the world. Though we've messed up, though we've squandered all of our blessings, God has been so, so loving and kind that he's restored that relationship by sending his son, Jesus Christ, into this earth. We're living in an age of fully trusting in God. We're living in an age of renewed blessings. And third and finally, we're living in an age of amazing love and mercy among God's people. Just like in the year of Jubilee in Leviticus chapter 25, someone who was a slave, they sell themselves as a slave to pay off some type of debt. That 50th year comes, the slave owner releases that slave, and the slave gets all of his possessions back. That's a wonderful display of love and mercy. God expects us to show that same amount of love and mercy for our brothers and sisters today. A few weeks ago, I talked about how it's very important to be a part of a local church. And we looked at 59 specific spirit-led references on how Christians are to treat one another. That's important. We're all in this together. No one is enjoying this age that we're in alone. There's not one group of Christians over here who are enjoying the blessings and the prosperity that God gives us, and then another group of Christians over here who aren't. In order for this to work, we all have to do it together. We're all trying to make it to heaven together. God expects us to love one another. The first and the second greatest commandments. First is, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. If you're not doing the first, you can't do the second. If you're not doing the second, you can't do the first. We have to be loving one another. We have to show mercy towards one another. We have to show grace towards one another. We have to encourage one another. We have to pray for one another. We have to inspire one another. Can't do it alone. We can't do it alone, but we can be thankful that God, in his mind, in his wisdom, has created this church, the universal church of Christ, so that we can be lavished in this wonderful, wonderful age that we're living in. An age of fully trusting in God, an age of renewed blessings, and an age of grace and mercy among God's people. Let us pray and thank the Lord for his abundant blessings. Dear Lord, you are just so wonderful and kind and merciful. You are so wise, and we are so thankful and happy that you are God. We thank you so much for seeing something special in us. And though we always mess up, you have been so gracious by giving your Son to suffer and die for us and wash away our sins for all time. And we pray that we will never forget this. We pray that we can live our lives in a way that shows appreciation to this great sacrifice and love you and serve you all the days of our lives. And we pray that we can encourage one another and uplift one another and realize the blessings that come from unity of Christians all working together towards one common goal. Pray that we can continue to be lights in your kingdom. And we pray that we can continue to inspire others and bring as many people to you on the final day of judgment that we can. We love you and we thank you for everything that you do for us. Please continue to bless this local congregation and bless our work here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Though we are living in such a wonderful age, we very often forget about all that God has done for us. And there are times in our lives where we're kind of knocked back into reality. And we remember how great God is and all of the wonderful things He's done for us. One of those things that cause us to remember about this age that we're living in is when a soul obeys the gospel, when somebody comes down here and they confess Christ, they repent of their sins, they're connected with His blood, and they're washed away in the watery grave of baptism. When that happens, we say things like, the angels are rejoicing in heaven, or there's power in the Word of God. But today I'll tell you, the angels are always rejoicing in heaven, and the Word of God is always powerful. Because we're living in this age of Jubilee. Another event that happens often is when someone comes forward and they ask the congregation to pray for them, to encourage them. They confess their sins in front of us, and then we have this long line down the aisle of people just standing there waiting to show love, grace, and mercy and kindness for this brother or sister who's repented. We have that all the time. Because we're living in this age of great love and mercy among God's people. And then third and finally, I wouldn't say finally, but the last thing that I can think of that often causes people to remember how great God is and what age we're living in is when we appoint new shepherds to lead a congregation. We see the plan of God at place, how God has put men who are spiritual and wise to make sure that we get to heaven, to keep watch over our souls. And thankfully, today we're about to do that. Friends, we're living in a wonderful, wonderful age. Never forget that. If there's anyone here who's not signed up for this Christian Jubilee, then sign up. You sign up by confessing Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, having your sins completely washed away, just like those Israelites had their sins forgiven on the Day of Atonement. Today is your Day of Atonement. Accept the gospel. Be connected with the blood of Jesus through baptism. Rise forth walking in newness of life. Going on your way rejoicing, just like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. If we can help you in any spiritual way, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation. I am the one.